So, yeah, like baked Lay's. Like, I eat like one and I don't want more. Sun Trip, you're not discussing there, mate. But here's the deal. Salt makes us want more. It adds flavor. It adds that thing that's addicting. People want to surround themselves with salty people. Okay? Now, not in the whole, like, I'm mad at you, I'm going to be salty slang thing that y'all are going with, okay? But people that have that same kind of attraction, okay? You ever met somebody that you just need to be around? There's just something about them that makes you want to. I'm not talking about Tanner Fox.
I'm not talking about Tanner Fox.
Or Chris.
There you go.
So what is it about Chris that makes you want to be around him? He tells you you're beautiful. Not he loves Jesus like we talked about earlier, but he tells you you're beautiful. Okay, so we know Kristen is shallow. We're going to move on with this. I'm just playing. Okay, chill out. So, yes, Alex. See, same thing. So, Psalms 101:6, that's where we're going. We're going to get back on track for me making fun of Kristen. Psalms 101:6. Okay, so I knew that she loved him because he made her feel good, not because he loved Jesus. I just had to prove it to you guys. So, Psalm 101:6. Two. Kristen, the word is word, not crap. Like, word for word of God, not crap of God.
No.
So I have two people that are there. Can the rest of us?
No, I found it.
That means nothing to me.
I don't like the other one.
Okay, so three. Okay. All right, so since Kristen loves to read so much, why don't you just go? Oh, she's not there yet. Psalms 101:6. Reproach. All right, so I'll search for faithful people to be my companions. This is David. That's what he's talking about. I want people around me that are faithful, that are loyal. Those are who I want to hang out with me. Okay? It says, only those who are above reproach will be allowed to serve me. What does it mean to be above reproach? Above being reproached. Okay, thank you, Derek, with the Webster Dictionary. Somebody put it in, like, normal terms. Okay, basically it means that you have a reputation that is unquestionable. So if somebody went to your parents and said, I'm really sorry to tell you, but your kid stole my phone. Are your parents going to be like, I'm going to kill my kid? Or is your reputation that's not how you operate? They'd be like, no. Not my kid. They would not do something like that. So that's what David's saying. He's like, I want people who have morals and standards that are in a place where I don't have to question what they're going to do. Okay? Let's look at it in the message real quick. Okay, real slow then. I'm good with that too. Oh, okay. But I have my eye on salt of the earth people. They're the ones I want working with me. Men and women on the straight and narrow, these are the ones I want by my side. David wanted to surround himself with salty people. That's what he wanted. People that have that natural draw. Again, salt of the earth people. So does God. Okay? The NLT, it uses that word faithful. This is kind of like a doctor or a nurse. Okay? You want to make sure that, like, if you go in to have, like, open-heart surgery, that doctor and that nurse are going to stay through the end, right? You don't want them to quit halfway through? That's what David's looking for. Hey, I want people that are going to be here no matter what, the whole way. I want friends like that. Okay, y'all heard me talk about all that wonderful time in my life way before I met Emily and all these wonderful things where I was, like, drinking all the time and I was stupid. I ran out of friends when I ran out of alcohol. They were not faithful to me. They were faithful to what I could provide for them. So David's saying, I want people that are going to be there throughout the whole thing. So we need to be salt, and we need to surround ourselves with salt. Okay? We good? So, if we're salt, we surround ourselves with salt. That makes sure that we kind of stay salty. Okay, again, not weird slang like y'all want to use it. Okay, get that again. But, so the thing about it is God is going to use and wants to use people who are salty. That's what he's wanting. Because people are naturally going to be drawn to them. And that's what God's looking for. Like, it's really hard for you to have a conversation with people about Jesus if you're off in a corner never talking to anybody. Okay? Kristen, we know. You're the center of everybody's attention. So, Colossians 4:6. Derek, yours doesn't count because it's on the screen. Thanks. Whatever. Whatever. Derek's back there looking at my notes, you know. What's me? It's in the New Testament. That's after Matthew, before Revelation. 4:6. 7:12, Emily says. 7:12. Colossians 4:6. Oh, it's 7:13. My wife cannot count. We will forgive her for that. Are we good? Is everybody there? Okay. Go for it, somebody. Okay, Kristen. All right. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive. What does that mean? No profanities. Be nice. No bad language. Yeah, forget that proper grammar mess. No gossip. Okay. No complaining. Is that conviction or an answer? Oh, okay, Emily's being convicted right in a minute. So, the ESV actually says, let your conversation be gracious and seasoned with salt. That's what the ESV says. Okay? What's the message say? Be gracious in your speech. The goal is to bring out the best in others in a conversation, not put them down and not cut them out. It doesn't do us a lot of good if we spend all of our time talking bad about people, talking down to people, saying how ugly people are, how annoying people are, how immature people are. It's our job to build people up. You don't want people saying those things about you, but we do an amazing job of saying them about everybody else. And if we are salty people, then we tend to have more influence on others. You ever been in a yelling match with some, or like in a room where two people were like yelling at each other and you're just sitting there talking like this, just normally? All right, here's what I want you to try. Like with your parents. Real deal, try this. The next time that they're yelling at you, what's your natural response? What do you want to do? Yell back. Don't yell. You don't even have to be perfectly quiet. But if you go in and you talk to somebody like this when they're yelling at you, at some point they're like, why am I yelling? Or why are you not yelling back at me? Like, it automatically brings the entire volume of the conversation down very quickly. Okay? It's part of having that influence. Okay? All right, so salt keeps things fresh. That's how you can have a bag of chips and they don't go stale for months, because salt allows them to stay fresh. It keeps them preserved. It makes them taste better. Okay? So our speech, like it says, should be fresh, it should be encouraging, and should not be destructive. Okay? Back before they had like freezers and some of that, like, you know, 1700s kind of thing, they used to put salt on meat to make it last longer. It didn't destroy the meat, it made it last longer. So we need to do what we can do to try and make people last longer instead of destroy them. Okay? Ecclesiastes 10:12. The big E one. Those two think they're funny. No. Yes. Yes, it is. 10:12. I'm going to have to start controlling ProPresenter from up here so those two can't be slick. All right, 397. Let's give everybody else a minute to get there. May not be there quite so fast. 397. Oh, my God. 398. Okay. So from now on, anytime Emily gives you a page number, add one. Don't actually take it for what it is. Add one. Ecclesiastes 10:12. Go. Hey, Kristen, we can't hear you. 10:12, not 6:12. 10:12. Oh, my goodness. No, just chapter 10, verse 12. 10:12, not 10 through 12. Not 6 through 12. 10. That's the big number. Okay, here we go. We're going to have to go through a lesson on how to look things up in the Bible. The word at the top is the book. The big number, the chapter. The little number, the verse. So Ecclesiastes on the top. Everybody good? Got it? Big number 10. Everybody got it? Little number 12. Not 10, 12. Okay? All right. Go ahead, read now. Wise words bring what?
Approval.
But fools do what? Fools are destroyed by their own words. You ever argued with somebody that really didn't know what they were talking about? What do they end up doing at the end?
Whatever, you don't know what you're talking about.
Fools are destroyed by their own words. Because they will. They'll sit there and argue back and forth. And at some point, they realize, uh-oh, I just said something wrong. I can't continue this conversation. So they very quickly revert to whatever. Or like, what if you're arguing with one of your siblings? Okay, like you two or you two or you two or you two. Arguing with one of your siblings and they just get tired of arguing and they don't have any response because they know they're wrong. What do? They just end the argument and walk off. Like, I'm just done with you. Emily, I am not talking about you right now. I will do that. Oh. But for real, like, that's how it works. Like, at some point, they just realize, like, I have nothing else to say in the argument. So she's like, I'm done. They end up destroyed by their own words. Okay? Let's look at it in the message. The words of a wise person are gracious. There that is again. In the ESV, it says, win him favor. People like to hang around people that say good and nice and happy things. Nobody really likes to hang around people that are always putting other people down. Okay? The talk of a fool self-destructs. He starts out talking nonsense and ends up spouting insanity and evil. Okay? We're good here? We comprehend this? So, like chips, like popcorn, like these salty things, our speech should leave people wanting more. Wanting to be around us more. wanting to hear more what it is that we have to say instead of going, I don't understand why everything out of their mouth has to be negative about somebody. That's not the way we should act. Okay? Same thing with church. When we see people here that we don't know, or that fresh come up to the youth group and haven't been here before and are cute little seventh grade girls that are sweet and innocent and drink stealers, we should make them want more when they come back. Not go, oh my goodness, all those youth are so rude. I don't want to be here anymore. Okay? I get it if she doesn't like me. I'm weird. Y'all don't like me. You just are here because you don't have anywhere else to be. I understand. But for the new people that haven't figured out they don't like me yet, we want to make sure that they don't leave because of the way we act. Okay? So, we need to be salt. We need to hang around salty people. We need to make sure our speech leaves people wanting more. A great way to bring people into that idea, that concept, that place, is to invite them to church. Bring people into church with a whole group of people who are salt, want to be around salt, and whose speech leaves people wanting more, and they're going to wonder what's different. Okay, Mark 9. Mark 9. Word mark, big letter 9, or big number 9. Word mark, big number 9. Derek's saying word. He doesn't even know what verse we're going to. That's how dumb he is sometimes. Mark 9:49. Okay, we're waiting on Kristen to hurry up and get back and read it. Mark 9:49. Word mark, big 9. Word mark, big 9.
Okay, I get it.
Little 49. Six oh six, not 666 like your boyfriend. Just ex-boyfriend. Okay. Oh yeah, because he doesn't have Jesus first. All right, let's go.
Okay.
Mark 9. That's 10. I know, I'm messing with her. She's still, what? She was so about to flip. All right, Mark 9, 49 to 50. 49 to 50. All right, so what's it saying? Help other people that lose their salt. It says that everybody will be tested with fire. That's kind of scary. Okay, salt is good for seasoning, but if it loses its flavor, how do you make it salty again? You must have the qualities of salt among yourselves and live in peace with each other. Okay, that's what we need to accomplish. Be salty people and be at peace with everybody around us. It goes back to everything we were talking about earlier. So again, let's check that out in the message. Slowly but surely, we'll be dead before it gets up there. Everyone's going through a refining fire sooner or later. But you will be well preserved, protected from the eternal flames. Be preservatives yourselves and preserve the peace. So again, at some point, we're going to get tested. God is going to put us through a fire, okay, spiritually, that is going to take away all the excess stuff. And the only thing that's going to be left are the spiritual things that we have done. Okay? So there's going to come a time where you're going to stand before God. A fire, okay, this is how it explains in the Bible. Fire is going to wrap around you and things are going to burn off. Things like, man, I had a really great job. Things like, I had a really nice house and a really nice car. or I had 5,000 followers on Instagram, or whatever these things are, and all that's going to be left is the things that you did for God. And it's saying, are you going to be this massive hill of stuff, the things you've done? Man, I was at church all the time. I was witnessing all the time. I was a good friend. Is it going to be this massive pile of stuff, or are you going to be just a little bitty pile? Because the things that you did were so much more focused on your friends or your job or your influence. Or are you focused on God? So, it says, when we are salt, we are preserving people and connecting them to God. We are being examples of Jesus to them. Christ is our salt. He preserves us from the eternal flames. So let's go and be salt and preserve the love of God in others. Okay. So, Ethan's back there. Some point earlier today, he's telling Emily about all of his friends that he met at school. Now, we all know Ethan. He's kind of interesting at some times. And so, Ethan has these friends. He's got, like, the drug addicts. What else? Who else? Oh, the kids that are addicted to sex. And a transgender kid. So these are Ethan's new friends. So these are Ethan's new friends. So here's the thing. Here's what I love about Ethan. Okay, real deal. Here's what I love about Ethan. Ethan's like, Aaron, look, let me see who I met. He's like, they don't love Jesus. They don't love me. They're all crazy. Kristen, on the other hand, she's like, I have a boyfriend, and I'm pretty sure he loves Jesus. I don't know that. I don't know where he goes to church or anything about him. I know he loves soccer, but I don't know. So. Hey, my microphone, you hush. No, really, but here's how this works. Honestly, okay, I just like to make fun of Kristen because it's Bryce sitting here, and so now I can. What I love about Ethan is he's like, Emily asked me, she's like, why are you hanging out with these people? He's like, I don't know. People are just attracted to me. But what is that? Okay, there's something about Ethan that attracts people to him. Now, maybe it's all the weird people, I understand, but you know what else? Weird people need Jesus too. The drug addict needs Jesus. The kids addicted to sex need Jesus. The transgender needs Jesus. And if we avoid those people at all cost, then we're not being the salt that we're called to be. If you walk into school and you go over to the table that you hang out at, and you sit down with your friends, and they're all Christians, and you talk about the service on Sunday, or tomorrow you talk about what your youth pastor talked about last night, whatever, and you never interact with anybody else, then how are you ever supposed to be salt? How are you ever supposed to give out the message of Christ if you never interact with anybody else? See, I thought for a while growing up, I was probably about Billy and Kayla's age, roughly. By the time I started driving all the time, I was literally at church like 6 or 7 nights a week. I would get out of school and drive up to church. I always had something going on, whatever it was. And for the longest time, I thought, man, I really am a good Christian. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And at some point, I kind of realized, God calls us to do what? Matthew 28, you've heard me talk about it 100 times. Spread the word. What's it say in Matthew 28, 18? Matthew 28, 18. If you don't know, it's in the book in your lap. Okay, go and make disciples of all nations. It does not say come to the church and talk to all the Christian people. It doesn't say come stay at church all the time where you're safe and comfortable. It says go and make disciples. So there's got to be a time, obviously, where we come hang out as believers and get energized and get encouraged and all that. Because, hey, y'all started school this week. Raise your hand if school sucks. Emily's a teacher. How bad do you feel for her kids? Okay. No. But so school sucks. So it's like, hey, I've been here 3 days and I don't like school. So you're like bummed out and you're down. So we need to be able to come here, laugh, joke, feel energized and better about ourselves. So there's a time and a place for that. But God has placed us in schools and in jobs and in whatever else you do, sports or clubs, or so that we can go and make disciples, so that we can go and be salt. But again, if we spend all our time in a corner, or all our time buried behind our phones, or all our time in a room or something, then we're not interacting with people that we have been called to share the gospel with. Okay? Got it? You understand? We're all confused. Be salty. Okay. What's the name at the top? What's the big letter? And what's the little number? Okay, so we're making progress. All right, so if nothing else, we're making progress here. Okay. So, try and focus the rest of the week on making sure that the people you're hanging out with are not just the Christian people. I'm good with it. Like I said, we need Christian friends, and I'm totally on board with that. But it's hard for us to go and make disciples. It's hard for us to be salt if we don't interact with anybody else. So step out of your comfort zone for a minute. Go meet somebody else. Maybe they are a drug addict, a sex addict, or a transgender, but they need Jesus too. So go step out of your comfort zone for just a second and go meet somebody new and see if you can strike a conversation with them and see what happens. All right. That's all I have. I'm going to pray. We're going to go. If you're interested after this, we are meeting in the sanctuary. We're going to pray a little bit in the sanctuary just that God would do something awesome this weekend. For those who have been living in a hole for like the last 4 months, Sunday is the 50th anniversary of the church. It is also... I'm speaking in tongues. Somebody interpret. Okay, it's Stephen Gay's 25th anniversary here at the church. Okay, so there's been a lot of people invited. If you were in service on Sunday, Gay asked you to do what? Invite five people. How many of you have invited one? Your family doesn't count. Okay. Either way, Miss Gay asked you to invite five people, so let's really try and do this. Okay? Either way, we're going to pray for a little bit that God would do something awesome this weekend. That people that haven't been to church before would come and they would really meet Jesus. That people that have never met Jesus would meet him. That people that have walked away would come back. And we're just going to cover that in prayer. You're welcome to join us if you want. You don't have to. I understand. But it would be awesome. Okay, we've talked about this for a few months. If we want God to do something, we got to pray about it. And we have to pray for it. Okay? Okay. I'm going to pray. We're going to get out of here. Heavenly Father, we want to be what you have called us to be. We want to be people that people want to be around. We want to be people that are known for being different in our speech, in our actions, in our attitudes. We want to be people that people around us desire to get more of. God, I pray that you would begin to make us salty as we begin to grow more and more like you. As we spend our time in the Word and prayer and worship and these things, that we would begin to look more and more like you and that you would preserve that inside of us. God, I pray for the next couple of days as these students return to school, God, that people would just know that tonight they were with Jesus. That tonight there was something different about where they were than where their friends were. That would allow people to ask some questions. Make it easy on them, God. Let people ask them questions. But allow them to have the answers to those questions when they get asked. Bless our thoughts, our actions, our attitudes as we leave from this place, that they would be glorifying to you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. All right. See y'all Sunday.